All right. I'm ready to have joy today. What about you? Yes. We're going to be talking about joy in the Lord today. So you can open your Bibles to Psalm 30, verses 2 through 5. So Psalms 30, 2 through 5 says, O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. There are people in here who know that God is a healer. Amen. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. You know, when Jesus went into the grave, he took our place. But he didn't stay there. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. We are not destined for a pit. We are not destined for a grave. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Are you saints of the Lord this morning? Yes, Lord. And give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Yes. That's why we give him thanks. That's why we give him praise, because he is holy. Amen. And this world is going to tell you God's a bigot. God doesn't love you. God is a mean, vengeful God. But listen, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. When God approves of you, there's life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray over this message right now and everybody here. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you continually move and just reveal to us what you want us to know about you this morning. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that there's anything hindering us from really rejoicing in you today. I pray, Lord God, that you break that off in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. You may be seated. You know, anger is not meant to be permanent. Weeping is not meant to be permanent. Because his favor or his delight is life. This should lead us to joy. Sometimes that means we will be shouting in triumph and gladness. Joy can be translated as glee, gladness, or cheerfulness. It's not a filler word for a twisted definition of happiness. The Lord has a definition for what joy is. The world is going to have their own definition for what joy is. It's not the same. But his joy, joy in the Lord, is the real deal. I can remember when I first came into church, and I think it was maybe 6 months, and you know, Jonathan and I had decided, let's just kind of like take a break for a minute. It only took a week. We broke up for 1 week. But listen, God can do anything in a short amount of time. And he was changing our perspectives and changing our gaze from like each other, gazing in each other's eyes, you know, to like we'd be side by side towards the Lord. And I remember I had prayed and fasted for 3 days. I didn't know I was fasting. I was such a baby in Christ. I just was like so sad and grieved, you know, oh, I can't eat, you know. But there was joy that I had experienced that I could not explain. I woke up one morning and it was literally like I was walking on clouds. And it must have shown on my face because the rest of that day at work, people were like, what did you do last night? You know, thinking something nefarious like they do. And I was like, I was praying and I was reading my Bible and I was spending time with Jesus. What did you do? But anyway, but they kept seeing it on my face and they kept thinking it was from something else. And I kept thinking, nope, it's not, because I already did all those things. And I never had this feeling. But when I had Jesus, that's when I had real joy. The Bible tells us about the joy of the Lord. but that's separate. But there's a joy that we are to have. And so that's what I would like to focus on. Do you have real joy active in your life? Psalms 126, 1 through 6. The song of degrees, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Did you know that God wants you to laugh? Maybe not at each other. Although we do that too. But there is a joy that he wants you to have. And our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That means you're going to come back with abundance, harvest. There's a time for repentance, but there's also a time for joy. That's what I want you to remember this morning. There's a time for grieving and sorrow and tears of heaviness. The Lord knows we've all had those moments, decades sometimes. But there should be a side of blessing after. If we are too heavy, if we are too sad, if we're too worried to laugh and experience joy, we are doing it wrong. And I understand that you can't always laugh and be joyful. It's impossible to do that 100% of the time. We all know some people, please don't say any names or don't look at each other, but that don't understand this, the awareness of like, you should not be laughing right now, please. In certain situations, they probably should just leave. I know those of us with kids know this very well. There's a time and a place to joke around, but it's not right now, okay? And, you know, it's not always appropriate. And sometimes some of you might be saying that right now during service. It's not just about, you know, it's not just about good manners. That's part of it. We really shouldn't be cackling in the back of like a funeral home or something crazy. You know, or like if a friend's pet dies, we shouldn't be laughing about it. Or singing praises or clapping our hands. There's a certain order for things, right? We need to read the room, read the situation. There has to be a balance, or I like to say a flow. Because sometimes balance seems like not a great word, but I like a flow in your life between seriousness and playfulness. And if that balance or flow is off one way or the other, then we've missed it. You can't laugh so much that you ignore all the serious things that need attention. But you can't also be too serious that you forget how to laugh and have joy. You're not going to be really fun to be around. But also, you yourself, you're not going to want to be around you. We need to have both. And God can show us how to have both. Psalms 5:11 says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." If you say that you trust and love the Lord, but you're not joyful, you are in direct opposition of his word and his will. Here's the problem. We as believers, we tend to live more defensively with our guard up. Because we're told, you know, put on the whole armor of God. Yes, that's true. But also, we need to live like on the offense as well. And God has been revealing this to me more and more. Especially, you know, like Brother Phil was talking about this morning, we are in an election year. We should not be surprised the stuff that is happening. But you do not have to live on the defense all the time and on eggshells, waiting for a challenge or waiting for a battle. What does the scripture say? Thou defendest them. All those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Meaning, once you trust God, you have permission to cheer up, to be merry, to have joy. I know we live in New England. Just crack a smile, okay? Gosh. If you just, I'm telling you, you go to the grocery store, and if you are smiling, they think you're on drugs or something. And I'm like, all I'm doing is just showing a little bit of my teeth, okay? But it tells us we should shout for joy because he defends us. We have a God who defends us. That's amazing that your Father, your Creator, did not just make you to leave you on your own, but he comes alongside you and fights battles for you, and his hand is over you and your family. The battle belongs to the Lord. The war belongs to the Lord. He did not call you to shield and defend him. That's not our job. You're not God's secret service or bodyguard. What can we do? But we do place ourselves that way. In fact, he tells you to guard yourself by trusting in him to guard you. So when you trust that God has got it all under control, it brings a level of liberation, freedom into your life. And that freedom and that liberation should enable you to shout from the lungs that you have been given. Here's where we are. And I'm just saying figuratively as a people. We are so defensive and worrying about how everything's going to play out that we've abandoned the offensive plays. It's football season, can you tell? But I've had this in my thought, is that your position needs to be on the offense, not on the defense. That part belongs to God. And the scripture reminds us of that. Trusting the Lord should make us rejoice no matter what is going to come at us. We'll be rejoicing before the storm even comes. That's an offensive play. If you already are rejoicing, if you are already trusting in God before the problem comes, before the battle comes, you are going to be in good hands. And loving the Lord means that we are joyful in him. God is our source for real joy. Amen? We can't depend on ourselves for joy. We've all tried. Sometimes we still try. We're not naturally wired that way. And, you know, we might say, which I'm laughing because this is exactly what, you know, Steve had said, but I have it in my notes. You might say, I'm not a naturally cheerful person. This is just how I am. Okay? And that could be true. But that's why you don't follow you, and I don't follow me. Joy doesn't come from us. We just can't produce it. It comes from trusting and loving the Lord Jesus Christ with our entire being, our body, our mind, our heart, and our soul, through and through. And if we are going to have the mind of Christ, part of that mind has to have joy. And if we are devoid of it, then we're actually devoid of a part of Christ. If Christ made us in his image, and he tells us to rejoice, don't you think he also rejoices? You know, the Lord gave me something last night, and I already had my notes, so I had to have another note. And I don't know where it came from. I was in my prayer corner in my office, and the Lord put this in my spirit, and I just wrote it down. Did God save you just so that you would stay hateful and bitter and angry and devoid of joy. No. But we all know people who say they love God, who try to do the right thing, and they are miserable. That's between them and God. However, we have to understand that when we say, it's too much for me to deal with right now, I don't want to laugh, I don't want to have joy, when we do that, that's actually a hidden depression. It has a mask. It's like we wear it as a Halloween costume. I can't have fun, or I won't allow myself to have fun, or to have joy, or to crack a smile, or to clap my hands, or to lift my voice, or to sing praises to the God, because it's just not convenient for me right now. And if it happens, fine, but I'm not going to make an effort to choose it. It's just going to have to be something that just happens. The problem is, real joy does not just happen. Part of denying ourselves when God tells us to, you know, deny ourselves is also denying the part of you that wants to stay mad, denying the part of you that wants to stay grumpy and wallowing in self-pity, the part of you that wants to stay reclusive. I'm an introvert. This is not where I like to be, okay? I have a really comfortable bed at home. But it might feel fine to you to stay that way, but I guarantee that it's not fun for everyone else. And deep down, you know it's actually not fun for you either. Denying yourself is not just outwardly like sinful things. We're thinking, deny yourself. Don't do drugs. Don't drink. Don't do all these things, which is true. That is true. But it also applies to our attitudes and our moods that keep us only looking at us. I'm still in recovery, obviously, from this. But when I trusted in God more and started living more on the offense, not to be offended, by the way, that's different, on the offense, that's when real joy was produced in my life and brought real freedom. You know, it's hard as a mom. We get pulled, I mean, all day. And I remember when my boys were a little younger and I was so angry and bitter and frustrated because they were so little and immature. Did you know kids could be immature? And you're like, just do what I say, please, okay? And I just remember thinking, okay. It felt good for a little bit not to be accountable for my anger. Let's just be real. Because you don't have to do anything. You're just doing what you want. Until I saw what it did to the people that I loved, my family and my home. And how could I be a good example of Christ, the first pretty much Christian woman that they would see, to my children, if I'm always snapping at them with an attitude, if I'm always sharp with my words, if I'm always down, walking around under a dark cloud of this grumpiness? Now, we can have bad moments and bad days. That's not what I'm saying. We're going to have bad moments. We're going to have bad days, bad weeks sometimes, bad years maybe. But we should not have bad habits. So that's what I'm talking about. That's what the Lord is really showing me, that joy has to be part of living for God. And joy is part of the story that God wants for you. Joy is a settled conviction about God, a trust in God. I know him because he's revealed himself to me. And if our life is devoid of joy and laughter, then we maybe haven't trusted God enough to handle the heavy. And we've been thinking we handled the heavy. But he said he defended us. He defends us. We can trust God enough to handle the heavy. He handled the cross. He handled our sin and our shame. Everything that can kill you, he put on his back. And it went with him into the grave. And then he rose again in victory so that we can be here today. You guys could be anywhere else, but you chose to come to church? I remember Sundays were for other things, I'm just going to say. That's how you know God changes you. He changes your want to or what you want to do. There is a reason why Jesus says, my yoke is easy and burden is light. Why would he say that? Because he's handling the heavy for us so that we could experience joy and freedom and liberation in him, in Christ. Let God play defense. He's not playing. Obviously, it's a play on words. But let God defend you while you focus on trusting him. And when I began to truly let go and just take my hands off and lift, you know why we lift up our hands? A couple reasons. Praise God. Give him honor and glory. I mean, it could be a high five too. No, but it's also a sign of surrender. When we're like this, we're still holding on to something. And sometimes we do that for a little bit. But there should be a moment where your hands need to let go. And you need to lift them up. And you need to surrender so that he can pour blessings into you, so that he can pour healing into you, revelation, joy. But you need to surrender and trust him. When we laugh and have joy and are cheerful in his house, he changes the atmosphere. And I think we've been seeing that more and more. And I believe God wants to do that beyond our wildest imaginations here. There's a time for grieving and repentance and heaviness. But God handles the heavy. We need to trust him and rejoice. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At that thy right hand, the hand of power, there are pleasures forevermore. Not just in this life, forevermore. Psalms 32:10-11 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. See, that's the part that the world likes to look at all the time. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. We're not righteous on our own. He makes us righteous. And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Joy is so serious to Jesus that he said the angels have joy over one sinner that repents. After the serious part, the repentance, there's a rejoicing. I I don't want the angels to be the only ones to experience joy. We're not going to get this perfect. Jesus knew that. That's why he became our Savior and our example, because we're not going to find truth or joy without him. And there are going to be seasons of grief, seasons of pain. We are going to get hurt, and that stinks. I'm just going to use that word because I'm up here. We don't want that. We're going to be upset. We're going to be offended. We're going to be unsatisfied, insecure, worried. People are going to reject us. But we are not meant to sit in that. So when you are hurt and insecure and you're worried, that's normal, but God doesn't want you to sit in it. And if we don't get this, we are not going to have the revival that he wants. Now, he will have revival, but we won't be part of it. The enemy wants us to stay stuck and stewing. That's how he controls us. He doesn't want us trusting in God. He doesn't want us rejoicing. He doesn't want you to have freedom. So let's prove the devil wrong, amen? If you want to defeat him, laugh when you don't want to. If you want to defeat the enemy, have joy. Put on worship music and praise in your house. Turn off the TV, turn off your phone, and just have a minute of rejoicing. Tell the kids, we're going to have a dance party, but it's going to be for Jesus. And mommy and daddy are going to be doing crazy things and worshiping the Lord. You're welcome to join us if you want to. Sometimes you need to do that. You need to keep your eyes on hope. Keep your eyes above. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we are indeed born again, if we are baptized in Jesus' name through the cleansing of his beautiful, beautiful, precious name and power, and filled with his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, we will have a new mind and a new heart. This means that if you are not naturally a joyful person, good. You shall be born again. God wants to change that. And I think it's time for all of us to just shake off any of those labels that we have been wearing for far too long. This is my identity. I am this person. No, you're not. You're not. God has a new person that he's trying to break out of you. If you would just lift up your hands and surrender. You don't have to wear a badge that somebody's given you. You're this and you're that. Everybody loves labels these days. I just want to say, listen, I'm just God's. I belong to Jesus. And I'll be whoever he wants me to be. And if he wants me to be a tongue-talking Pentecostal freak, then look, 17 years and I'm here. 1 Peter 1:7-9, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Talking about when the Lord comes back. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. It comes from deep inside of you because the Lord places that there. He gives you that revelation of who he is, that there is only one God, that his name is Jesus, that there's no other gods but him, that we serve no other gods but the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it's by his power that he became a man and sacrificed himself on the cross and bled for us. And after 3 days, rose from the grave in victory. When we realize that, we can trust him. And he gives us this joy unspeakable and full of glory. receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know, Renee, you can come. Sister Debbie, I know in Sunday school you guys have the acronym JOY. Jesus, others, you. Jesus, others, you. The world likes to say, you. Others, and nobody else matters. Actually, just you. That's what the world says. But it's Jesus, others, you. That's how you serve the Lord. You serve Jesus, then you serve others. And God takes care of you. So why don't we stand? And I'm actually going to invite all of us to the front, because I think it's time for us to have some joy, some rejoicing. We are going to lift up our hands and surrender. If you feel led to, I encourage you. But we are stepping out in obedience to his word and stepping out in faith. Think about what God has done for you, where you are right now. You could be anywhere else, but he brought you here right now. So let us give him thanks with a heart of thanksgiving, because the atmosphere is going to change today. You're not going to be the same after this. I believe that the Lord has something for each and every one of us today. God is ready to shift something here. So let us rejoice in the name of Jesus. Amen.